If you'd go in your Bible, please, to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. And in our study of Jeremiah and the approaching storm where Nebuchadnezzar is going to level Jerusalem, etc., and the people's heart is very hard and getting harder. And in the process, they have been caught up in a mood, a movement, where we have removed God from our practical daily thinking. And we are caught up in a whole lot of thinking. And it needs to be thinking, because we are all aware back then of Nebuchadnezzar's intent and Jeremiah banging away of what's going to happen. So all the more we're thinking and talking and listening and maneuvering, seeking to handle it all. We've got to live in it. Same as we live in our day, in our country, in our world. Now, so having said that, and God directly helps them, as we share together, in chapter 23 and verse 23, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see? Him, saith the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord." By the way, I know about everything. I am all-seeing, all-knowing, and I already want you to know that I am knowing, and I am helping you to know beforehand, but you don't want to know beforehand, chapter 23 and verse 20. You don't want to know, you don't want to understand what I am forewarning you on. And therefore, you are not ready. You're not going to be in the right place to do the right thing, to remedy the disaster that's coming. Therefore, if you would, here's the false prophets and their false priests, the prophets, the leadership. And here are the prophets, and we share together verse 25, 26, 27, that everyone's there as if God didn't know anything, and God didn't care, and God isn't there. All of that is wrong, but they don't want to think about that, and so God reminds them he's an ever-present God and an all-knowing God. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, going down, if I can, to verse 28. Now, so here's the prophets. He's condemned them, rightly so. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Now, God, you're going to help them. And the prophets are going to make very clear to the people that would want to hear that the prophets are busy, busy, busy talking and saying things. And in verse 28, they're dreaming dreams. And what they're feeding out in their prophetic announcements, what they're feeding out is total lie, falsehood. Therefore, God, what are you going to do? Well, we need to know that in the process, and what is the mood that the people are picking up from the prophets and the messages? Chapter 6. And in chapter 6, if I may, thank you. And picking up, if I can, in chapter 6, picking up in verse 14. What are they saying? They have healed also the hurt, the concern of the daughter of my people. What were they saying that made them more comfortable and hang in there and keep listening to the false prophets? The false prophets were saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. So they were giving a message that was not true. Now, over a few words, and that'd be like going to a doctor or something, and you need to understand what's wrong so you can rightly approach it and handle it, and the doctor gives you the wrong message, doesn't tell you the truth, and you walk out the door, and you're deceived. You feel good about something when you should feel very, very much concerned. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over to chapter 8 one more time. God, they've said this message over and over again to them. And in chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 11. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people, saying slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Verse 15. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. Wow. We were looking, but you know, every day we hear the message, everything's going to be good, but then we look out the window, and we listen, and nothing's changed. It's all the same. Wow. Down to verse, if you would, verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Nothing's better for us. We keep hanging in there, listening to these people, and nothing gets any better. Not at all. So they keep talking and we keep listening, but we're not saved. Nothing's safe. Nothing's secure. Now, having said that little bit, therefore, and you remember now, you'll remember over in chapter 23 again, verse 28, they were in a dilemma because they were being fed chaff or straw and not wheat. And the wheat is winnowed and all the bad stuff gets away and all you got's the solid, nourishing wheat. But if all you got is the chaff, all you've got is the nothingness, it's worthless. So what are they doing? God, what are you saying? They are getting the chaff. They're getting nothing, and there's no nourishment, nothing to give them health, nothing to save them, nothing to help them, nothing. Chaff. Now, over if you would please, in the light of that, over to Numbers chapter 12. Now remember now, they're dreaming, and I want you to think about dreaming. We're going to deal with dreaming. Dreaming. And remember now, as we're looking, if you were reading in Isaiah 44, you would read that the people of Israel are caught up in idolatry. Now, can you give me a little phrase or expression to help me with that? Right. They're feeding on ashes, chapter 44, verse 20. They're feeding on what? On ashes. What good are ashes? And if we go to Hosea, God, what are you saying? Here's the 10 tribes up in the north. Now, what were they doing? Chapter 12. They're feeding what? On the wind. The wind. They're trying to catch the wind and harvest the wind and make the wind work. In other words, the 10 tribes of the north are wrongly trusting Assyria to come along and help them. And that's like feeding on the wind. It isn't going to do a thing. The idolatry won't do a thing. Trusting other resources, Egypt in one case, Assyria, trusting others to help you, that doesn't do anything. And now here in Jeremiah, What were they doing in Judah and Jerusalem? They were feeding on dreams. Feeding on the dreams. Dreams. What people think. Chapter 12, Numbers. If I can. And picking up in chapter 12, you remember the Miriam and Aaron were concerned because Moses was the boss. God picked Moses. And they were all concerned, and why should Moses have the authority, and why should he be able to say what he does? And they were doing all that. Now, and picking up, if I can, verse 7, chapter 12, verse 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful. Remember we just read in chapter 23 and verse 28. Faithful, the man is faithful. I'm looking for my word to be faithful. That man. So here's Moses. What are you? Verse 7. Who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently and not in dark speeches. And in the multitude of the Lord, and in the similitude of the Lord, shall he behold. Wherefore, then were you not afraid so to speak against my servant Moses? I talked to Moses face to face. I talked to him. He listens to me. Now, what right have you got to go and speak against Moses? You're trying to say, why shouldn't you be equal? Because I have not chosen it so. Therefore, verse 9, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. So it didn't do good. They were going to go and say, why can't we do what Moses does? Because you aren't Moses. That's all. What's the big deal? You are Moses. Moses is Moses. And God is God. Now, having said that, and they were talking about dreams and all of these different things. Deuteronomy, when you do that, now here's, and remember, God used dreams, there's no question. God uses dreams. We're going to say a word about that in a little second here. Remember, dreams. The dreams are what you think, etc. And then they work away. And what were the prophets doing? They were telling their dreams. Now, what do you know about dreams? What do you know? How can you challenge anybody that has a dream? It's their dream. It was real to them. It's their nightmare. It's their dream. Now, what are you going to say? You can't disprove it. There's nothing to say. The man had a dream. And people do dream. It's your mind working. Your mind, when you go to sleep, I think it's the 90-minute cycle or whatever it is, you know, that goes like this during the night. You sleep and then dream. And dream. And your mind isn't going to bed, you know. I mean, you think of in the house. You turn all the lights off, going to bed, electricity down, right? But you know what? All through your house, electricity never stopped. True? It just keeps going. And your mind just keeps going. The dreams, that's what you do. All over the place, you know. One minute you think you're a bird, the next minute you think you're a kangaroo and whatever you are. And you're dreaming. And you can't challenge it. They were telling their dreams. That's what they were doing. And people tell their dreams. Now, and I understand that. And I'm not questioning dreams. Dreams are there. And God used Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar. And God uses dreams. No question. But... you don't go by dreams. No, no. Therefore, God, how did you help? You have to help people because we dream, we think. So God, we got to help us. Therefore, Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy and chapter 13. And picking up, if I can, and you know it, verse 1. Now God, everything has to be tested. And therefore, chapter 13, verse 1, if there arise among you a prophet, a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign of the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, like the false prophets were, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, which they were doing. Verse 3, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. Why? For the Lord your God proveth you, puts you to the test. What's God testing? To know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after, verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and you shall serve him, and cleave unto him. Now God said, listen, I'm going to give it to you. People say all kinds of things. You think all kinds of things. Your opinions, your feelings, you've got them all there. Wow. And here in these guys, the false prophets, were claiming God was the backing of their dreams. God, it's God's dream, see? And they were doing that. And they were all excited about that. And God said, listen, I'm going to test you. Are you paying attention to my word and who I am? Or are you listening to people's thoughts and their dreams? What are you doing? You're hearing it. Ah, what did they say? What did they think? You know, interesting. Wow. Uh-huh. God said, listen, is it in accord with my word? Does it agree with my word? You test it. And every thought and every dream and every opinion, test it by my word. And if you don't know the word, how on earth could you test anything? That's why discernment is so rare today. Because God's people don't know enough to discern. They don't know it. They don't know whether it's right or wrong. Sounds good. They have no way to test it. So here we are, God, we're trying to get some help so that we're going to go and understand that God, it has to be tested. Now, I have, just for the sake of an illustration, and here is of many, many things. This is a cookbook kind of thing, you know, yeah, and all kinds of things in it, and recipes. And you know what? If you want that recipe, you're going to have to follow it. True? Do you want to invent your own little ingredients and add and subtract? What does God tell you about adding and subtracting? Deuteronomy chapter 4, Revelation 22. Don't add and don't subtract from what I say. But people are doing it all the time because that's how we don't have enough information. And so it sounds good, it looks good, and we do it. But you know what? If we don't follow the recipe, we aren't going to get it. I was going to bring out math books and all kinds of things, big formulas. I get big volumes like this, literally, of math formulas, of every equation to solve. And too heavy. But in the process, if you want to do that, you want to know the circumference of a circle, then you got to follow the formula. That's what you do. That's called mathematics. You can't make up something. You have to follow the law. You have to follow the rules. You follow the recipe. Otherwise, it won't work. God says, listen, I give you recipes and remedies. Don't mess with them. That's the whole point. And he's dreaming. And he's taking his thoughts and what someone else said or what he thinks, and he's mixing it. And giving God, God said, and God thinks, and God's going to do, and you're going to have peace and safety when there isn't any. Now, having said that, add to that Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes, if I can, over in chapter 5, as you know, and you will note, verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest in the house to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. What's wrong with my opinions, my thoughts? Why, hold it. You're in the wrong place to do that. It isn't your thoughts and ours, it's God's. That's why you've got the Bible. I wonder what he says. I don't know what I don't care what you feel, what you think. What does it say? That's what you want to know. With vehemence. What do I think about capital punishment? Well, what does God say about capital punishment? And it doesn't matter how you feel about it, whatever. It's what God says. And that's what goes. Now, so here's Ecclesiastes, verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to enter or utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Listen more than you talk. For a dream, verse 3, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. So you know what a fool thinks by just listening to him. Listen to him talk. How much does it agree with God's word, you see? And when you're all worried about stuff and that, don't you find that you tend to dream a little more? If you're all concerned about something, and it's running, and you go to bed, and you try to close your eyes, and boom, it bubbles away up there. Wow. Business. It's right. It's all being alive, being human. Verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is that thou shouldst not vow, then thou should vow and not pay. So we're going to talk to God, be straight with him, be faithful. Listen to what is God saying, what does God want, what is God after. Over to chapter 44 in Jeremiah. Moving into Jeremiah, after Nebuchadnezzar levels the city, as it were, and in Jeremiah chapter 44, picking up if I can, the people have migrated, moved down to Egypt, northern and southern Egypt. They're in both places. And Jeremiah's down there. Now, I'm interested, here's the temple, all of it's burned down, and all of this stuff is there, it's all finished. Now, God said, you're going to know, I told you it was going to happen. I'm interested, after that, what are people still thinking? Chapter 44, picking up in verse 15. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, and a great multitude, even all the people that dwell in the land of Egypt, in Patharos, answered Jeremiah, saying, As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us, in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. Hey, are you guys listening anymore? The real event happened. We don't care what you say. You don't care what you say. That's their thinking. Did you ever ask yourself in Revelation, here's all of the events, the bulls and all of the different things, all of them taking place. Did you ever ask yourself, why don't people repent? Why don't they change? You would think people would say, twist my arm enough, I'll yell. But they don't. Humans, God condemns them. And rightly so. Now, and therefore, I'll read verse 17, because it's good. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, our own thinking, our own dreams, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we did it, and we and our fathers and our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem, that's what we did. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil, because they kept saying peace and peace, when there is no peace, and we kept deceiving ourselves and running down the corridor, and after all of it's said and done, reality, raw reality, and you don't believe still. What do you do with the people like that? What do you do? Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so they have chosen not to believe. Back over, if you would please, on your way back, chapter 23. Now remember the dreams are there, and people dream. Nothing wrong with dreams. Don't kick yourself because you dream. You're going to dream. It's just, what do you do with your dream? They're your own dreams. And they're your own experiences and your nightmare or whatever you had, good or bad. Wow. And it's yours. Leave it there. And I know from experience in all kinds of different ways and of people. And I know people who have dreams and they have told me what's going to happen. They told me what was happening. And actually, at the same time, it happened. My own mother, my own father, my sister knew right on the spot. She knew. Now, that's her dream. We have no assurance of it. I didn't discredit it. I just let it go. Because it isn't based on anything. We're based on the Word of God. We're looking to the Word of God. And I said, you can't go. I know it's real to you. And it was real. I understand that. God does that. God uses your mind. But it doesn't contradict God's word and contradict God's mood and his holiness and his righteousness. He has his stupid remarks about doing stuff. It's all right to do that. No, it isn't all right to do that. And you know it. And God uses that. That's just our humanness. And you just practice, enjoy being human, based, subjecting yourself to God and his word. And the Spirit of God will help us. And we learn, we say, boy, when in doubt, don't rule. Now, so here at chapter 23, he that hath my word, verse 28, let him speak my word faithfully. What is chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord. Now, in the light of that, now remember now, in the process, remember that we just read, they were still worshiping the Queen of Heaven, etc., etc., a different name for different gods, same name often for different gods. And in the process, Manasseh, 100 years earlier, was he was the son of Hezekiah, a good king. Manasseh is a horrible king. And he got into the Queen of Heaven. Where do you think all that drawn? They were doing that before Josiah came along in them. And they were doing that. So this is 100 years, and they're still doing it in the days of Jeremiah. Now, in the process of that, let him tell a dream. It doesn't say you can't dream. It doesn't say you can't tell your dream. It's just you don't go by your dream. You don't go by your feelings. You go by the recipe. You go by what God said. His ways and his thoughts are 1 inch above yours. There's no way. No way, God. You know everything. You understand everything. You have all the power and all the knowledge and everything. Oh, God, there's no way you're going to buck your word. No, your word calls the shots. It doesn't matter how I feel about anything. It's what God said, and that's what to do. And you say, well, who are we? That's what God honors. God honors that you gave him credit for what he said, even if you're a rascal. You gave him credit. And that's what God wants. Will you believe me? Simple. That's what he's looking for. And so I don't, dreams and people's opinions and philosophies and what's going to happen, you can have all of that kind of thing, but we don't go by that. We go by God, who manages each moment of time. My times are in thy hand, Psalm 31. And we're out working it. That's what we're doing. And we aren't worried about all the predictions and the fears and all the other stuff. Well, what's my future? How's work going to go? How's my health going to go? How's my marriage going to go? How's this going to go? No, all of that is there, but we're not going by that. You're only going to live another 5 minutes if God wants you to. And you can have all kinds of predictions. I know, you know, well, I don't know them now, of course. He came out of the doctor's office, and the doctor said he was fine. And when I met him next time, I didn't really meet him. He died in the street, leaving the doctor's office. You see. Someone else said, well, you're gone. You got 3 months. And 10 years later, they're still around. Now you figure it out. Because God calls the shots. That's all. And you do that. You know that. So you aren't upset about anything. You're relaxing. The dream of people say, all of that stirs up the mind. And their dreams, they say, God doesn't say you don't have dreams. Just don't go by them. Therefore, in the light of that, therefore, looking to God, who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. And that's intensive. To do so with great diligence, great fervor, with power. God said it, God means it, God does it, and it doesn't matter. I remember years ago, for just illustration for whatever it's worth, not much, in the process, in Harrison, Arkansas, we were there in the Ozark under the mission, starting the Harrison Bible Church in the city of Harrison. And there, and a mission director was starting it, and we were there, of course, helping them a little bit. And in the process, and that particular church, assembly as it was started, had a number of businessmen or prominent men in the city who came, who helped to start the church. We weren't talking about bums in the street. We're talking about people. Prestigious people that had wanted to start a Bible church, and they did that. So I remember Mr. Felton, bless his heart, he's with the Lord, and he said, I want you to bring the Sunday school lesson, and I did. I have no idea what I did back then, but I gave it a shot, and I said what I said, and afterwards, several of the men came up and said, listen, we've got to help your son. You just don't talk like that to us. Do you understand who we are? We're the sponsors to make this go. And you can't say that. But I said, that's what it says. What am I going to tell you? It's what it says. And I've always done that, I hope. I hope I've never failed in my little bit to tell you what it says. That I can count on. But I don't like it. I didn't ask whether you liked it. It's what it says. And I try to spend a couple of minutes to try to lock it in so I'm not guessing at it. I don't want to guess. I don't want to guess at something. And if I don't know it, you won't hear me say it because I don't know it. I can tell you things I can't answer because we don't have the answers. But I will tell you what I do have the answer for. Now, so here we are looking. And in my word, God does it faithfully, the dreams. And in the process, we'll do that a little differently because our time disappears so rapidly. Over to Psalm 138. Give my word faithfully. And in Psalm 138, and by the way, that doesn't mean we're perfect. We're human, frail, faulty. Don't say the right pronunciation. I don't give you the right verse. That's our humanness. So just live with the humanness and understand the main thought is to get it right. So work through all the dumb mistakes and all the things you can sit and criticize and do whatever you want. But that's human. You try getting up here talking hour after hour. You try it. And to talk about something heavy, not little light things, deep stuff you got to pay attention to. It's hard. But here we are. Well, Psalm 138. And in Psalm 138, picking up, David, would you help me? I will. So therefore, 138, I'm going to go to verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods. Will I sing praise unto thee? I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindnesses, and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified, enlarged thy word above all thy name. Now, what are you saying, David? David said, you remember David now is God's man. He's a little boy with a few sheep out in the wilderness of nowhere looking to God, and his big brothers are out there doing whatever. And here's little David. David and God are there. And so when Goliath comes along, that's nothing for David. Lion, bear, Goliath, so what? But David, with your wonderful experience of all the different people you want to meet, I'd want to meet David. I mean, David was one guy. He had it, man. God, he loved David. I love him. That's to hear that, isn't that wonderful? God says, I love you. Wow. Now, so here, David, thou hast magnified thy word above all my name. Well, what do you mean? Do you know, God, I conquered Goliath. I did all of these different things with the enemies. Now, God, here I am. Now, what do you mean? Now, this psalm is probably written during 2 Samuel chapter 7. So in order to pick up that over to 2 Samuel, and in chapter 7. And you will notice, please, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, is the great Davidic covenant. It's God's covenant with David to promise him a throne, a kingdom, and the son of David, our Lord Jesus Christ, is going to rule and reign. So God, it's an awesome thing. Here's David, and David's given such awesome promises about his future. Now hang on. Now what are you going to say? You have to read 2 Samuel 7 and verse 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, etc. Now, slide down to verse 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? God, here I am as a shepherd boy. I became king in your wonderful providence. I am destined to be the prince in the New Jerusalem. I'm destined to be a leader. Wow. In the future. Wow. Aha. Uh-huh. Now, who am I, Lord? Hang on. Verse 19. For this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And this is the manner of man. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? What man could ever predict the future? Who can ever say all this? God, no man can ever make such statements. You make them. It's your word. Verse 21. For the word's sake, according to my own heart, thou hast done all these great things to make thy servant know them. And God, David, you are impressed. What's impressing you? You have magnified. I know you personally. No question. But you have made statement after statement, and now you're making the awesome movement, prediction of the future and my position. Your word, what you say, lifts up your magnificent name. God, who else could say such things? Who else could do them? Your word honors your name. It magnifies your name. And your word, you're telling me things, and I thought I understood, and I have to enlarge my heart in magnitude and magnificence and in mercy in the light of who you are. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now, verse 29. Therefore, now let it please thee, O blessed, to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Wow, wow. God, let it be blessed forever. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, tie it together. God, your word. Now, how have you demonstrated your word? You are the word. John 1, 2, 1, 1. John 1, 1, 1 and 2, 1 and 3. Your word. The word was with God. The word was God. And the word became flesh. And all that you've said now pops out of the pages in your person, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, your word, your name. You know, we shared it in Isaiah 55, verse 8, 9, 10, 11. 55 what? Your thoughts, my thoughts, and my words, and my ways are higher than the heavens. Wow. Aha. Higher than the heavens. And in the process of all of that, being higher than the heavens. And can anyone hide back to Jeremiah in your mind? 23 and 24. 23, 24. Can any hide himself from me? Do not I know everything? Do not I not have it all, know it all, be it all? And therefore, God, your word, your wonderful word, your wonderful work, would you stop listening to the false prophets who are saying and claiming that I am the source of their dreams, and they're saying that God is this, and peace is going to be, and this is going to be, and all of these wonderful little thoughts and dreams and wishes. Ah, please don't do that. Don't listen to them. Pay attention to what it says. We could sit here and have conferences and everything. And we still try to do it a little bit. Try to use the Bible. Because you can go to a lot of conferences where you don't need to use the Bible. You don't even need to think about the Bible very much. What do? We try. What does it say? What does it say? We're supposed to be a Bible conference. That's why we open the Bible. The pictures are nice and everything, nothing wrong, you know. And if you can draw and stuff, and all of that, wow. But it isn't about that. It's about that book in front of you. It isn't about your smartphone. It's about that book, God's Word, from Genesis to Revelation. And you rest on that. Say, well, I got my smart. I don't care if you got a dumb phone, a smartphone, or a big little one. It's what it says. Go by the book, because you're going to get to see. I don't need to get into it. What's happening to our society? I don't need to get into it. But in closing, would you get God help us? Now, when it comes to your word, like the recipes, pay attention to what I said. That's why, with some effort, we try to help us understand each other, to understand what it says. We could read Judges, we could read Jeremiah 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. What does it say? Well, I don't know. We read it, but I don't know. That's no good, because it was written for you to understand, for me to understand about dreams, among other things. Don't listen. Why do you give it to us? So I can understand. I want to understand you. I want to think like you do by your grace and by the Spirit of God. Therefore, in closing, over to 2 Peter. We didn't get very far, but I hope you got a little bit. And I wish you a good night's dream. What can I tell you? You know. And isn't it good you can wake up from a dream. Isn't it? What happens if you couldn't wake up from a dream? You know. Now, what you do is say, when you're dreaming, and you say, boy, this is a terrible dream, what you do is tell yourself, this is a lousy dream, God, I'm going to wake up and start again. Understand? Wake up and start again, because it's a lousy dream. And do it. That's all. Pinch yourself, do something, get out of bed, go back to bed, wake up, and start again. Now, Peter, 2 Peter. I hope you got a little bit. I think it's an awesome thing myself that God has made it so simple. I gave you the book. I gave you the recipe. I told you how to do it. I'm backing it up. I'm behind the book. I'm behind the recipe. Think about what we're doing in Sunday school. Recognize and reckon and rely, etc. Learn the recipes. Well, 2 Peter, excuse me, again. 2 Peter, chapter 1, picking up in verse 19. God, what are you going to tell us about your word? You know it. We have also, 2 Peter 2:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, dwell, to take heed as unto a light in a dark, that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. No way. Now, we're looking to God's word, the prophets, and the prophecy. That's right. Don't add or don't subtract to it. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy, none, of the scripture is of any private, that is, one's own interpretation solution. You don't sit down and tell it what it is. It tells you what it does. Pay attention to the context, the whole movement. God says, I'm telling you, please don't mix it up with your thinking, your fears, and your thinking about this and that, which isn't even in agreement with me. It's no private interpretation. So when we're reading, we can't say, well, I feel this way. Well, it doesn't matter. And you'll be a long time since you heard me say that. I feel about anything. Man, a long time. It isn't how I feel. It's what does it say. And there's your safety, isn't it? If you had to go back in the space stuff and all that, and you're having to go and make a mathematical equations and metals and measurements and micro, all kinds of things, aren't you going to make them carefully? Don't you have to go by all the different sciences to do them? Don't you read? That's what you're studying, to try to plug in the right numbers and calculate and recalculate and do it again. The same with medicine or anything. And you do that. Why do you do that? Because you're sending up a space thing that it depends on accuracy. Otherwise, it won't work. When I used to work in F-102 back then, building the jets and all that, in the process, and I shared that with you 100 years ago, and I remember my boss came out and gave to what they're going to do. We were designing the stable platform that goes in the F-102, etc. And we were doing that. And I didn't. He asked me what I knew. I said, I don't even know what a stable platform is, except the chair isn't moving, you know. And I didn't know what it is. And then he all this stuff. And you know what? I wasn't messing around. He said, listen, your accuracy depends on that pilot's safety and everything. So you don't make mistakes willfully. You pay attention to what you're doing, because the accuracy of that design is governing that plane. And man, I took that seriously. That's why I worked so much. Wow. I took that seriously. You betcha. No messing around. Nope. Now, so God, therefore, the end of verse 21. The prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The word moved is to carry. Think of the ship at sea, and the wind is carrying the ship in its direction. The prophet is speaking, all the different pens that God writes with, Abraham and Isaiah and all of that. And God writes, and the pens are moved by the Spirit of God. That's how you got the Bible. That's how you got the Bible. God did it. Now, it doesn't mean the copying, there's different things you have to think about and work through. That's true. But the original languages, that's what God did. That's how you got it. That's awesome. Well, wow.